I'm David S. Dawson from The Intellectual Podcast, a show that spotlights creatives from all walks of life, part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other incredibly geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to Play Comics, a show where we look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material. I'm Chris, and today I've got Luke Hare from Exiled of Multiversal Q here with me. Luke, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. How about you, Chris?
My entire brain is going to explode because I was dumb and thought that I could cram for a Dragon Ball episode.
Oh no, I mean, maybe if you had a week, you could cram through and read all of Dragon Ball Z, but then you would lose a lot of the context that makes it as much of a well-beloved series that it is.
I spent 2 days.
Fair enough.
I'm doomed.
I mean, we can get into it. I can teach you how to Dragon Ball Z, but... I had talked about how on another podcast that I was on, I had a song that got cut out, and you were like, oh, well, if you ever come on the show, you can do a song, so are you ready?
Yes, please.
Down, 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 now, down, 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 now, down, 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 Dragon, dragon, rock the dragon, Dragon Ball Z. Yeah, dragon, dragon, rock the dragon, Dragon Ball Z.
There's like a 0% chance that that's getting cut out.
Oh, I am perfectly aware of that. The last time my rendition of Alan Moore's hit single March of the Sinister Ducks got cut out was because my audio was actively screwing up.
Yeah, everybody, that's why you make backups of backups. So when stuff messes up, you still have that kind of golden content.
Oh, no, I had the backup. It was literally an issue where my computer microphone was clipping in and out because I had not restarted it for several months.
That'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up for me, I knew that Dragon Ball existed. I thought that Dragon Ball was people who were too lazy to say Dragon Ball Z, so I thought they were the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I assumed it was a manga, but I knew for sure it was an anime. But I would try to watch it with friends, and when they would tell me about it, it sounded cool. But then every time we would try to watch it, it would be like a quarter of a fight for a whole episode.
Yes. So way back in like the, I want to say it was the early 80s, Akira Toriyama, who was already pretty popular for his Dr. Slump manga, which also had tie-ins to Dragon Ball Z, decided to make something different. And so in 1984, he began on Dragon Ball, which is the adventures of the young Son Goku, and it's a loose adaptation of the classic Chinese novel Journey to the West. And then it was very popular, and it had also pretty much abandoned the Journey to the West idea, and so Dragon Ball Z focused on the next generation, so Goku and his son Gohan, and the continuing adventures, and where Dragon Ball was very much an adventure in the world, with them having to looking for the mystic Dragon Balls that if you gathered all of them, you could get a wish. This expanded the scope out into space by revealing that, oh, the reason why Goku was always such a big fighter and turned into a giant gorilla under the full moon was because he was an alien from outer space.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah. And so basically, Dragon Ball Z follows the course of, hey, there are some other people from Goku's race, the Saiyans, who have come because Goku was supposed to take over the planet, but instead he got dropped on his head and he became a good guy. And so initially his brother comes and Goku has to team up with the final big bad of Dragon Ball, which is Piccolo, and the two of them fight and Goku ends up sacrificing himself to kill his brother Raditz. Because one of the other things is everybody has, most of the characters have like food or instrument or pun-based names. Like Goku's real name is Kakarot, like carrot. And Gohan is the Japanese word for a rice ball, or for rice. So are you with me so far?
So far, I think I'm getting a much better understanding.
Okay. So then from that point, Goku is dead, but because he lived such a good and pure life on Earth, he is given the opportunity to go and train with King Kai, which requires him to travel on the Snake Road, and King Kai is a master martial arts teacher who lives on what is essentially a tiny asteroid planet at the end of Snake Road. Goku trains with him, but while he is doing this, two other Saiyans are coming. One of them is Nappa, and the other is Vegeta, who people like Vegeta. They get to Earth, and it's all like, oh, is Goku going to get back in time? We need to fight as much as we can. And Nappa ends up dying. A bunch of characters from Dragon Ball end up dying because these new Saiyans are even more powerful than Raditz. And Piccolo, in the meantime, has also been training Gohan, Goku's son, to help and develop his powers, basically by being like, hey, you're 6 years old. I'm going to toss you out into the desert. You have to survive. Which Gohan does, which really ends up pissing off his mom because his mom wanted him to be a scholar. And that really doesn't happen. So ultimately, Goku returns, has a big fight with Vegeta, and Vegeta leaves because he got too beaten up, and he goes to tell his boss, Frieza. Frieza is like, oh no, that's not good. A Saiyan who's even more powerful than you. Well, we got some other stuff to do first. And Vegeta, in the meantime, is like, oh yeah, well, I've always kind of hated you because I was the prince of the Saiyans. And you genocided my entire people because you're afraid of the legendary Super Saiyan. And so he goes to the planet Namek, where Frieza and Frieza's top leaders, the Ginyu Force, are. And it turns out that Namek is the planet where Piccolo and Piccolo's good side Kami come from. And there's a whole other set of Dragon Balls there. And Kami ends up having to... Oh yeah, yeah, I totally forgot the part where Kami had to sacrifice himself there to merge back with Piccolo, who was his evil side, which means that Earth no longer had Dragon Balls. So with me so far. They're on Namek, and Frieza's looking for Dragon Balls, and Frieza's evil and genocidal.
Yes, but I think this is starting to make X-Men look like a kid's book. At least as far as complexity goes.
No, no, because this is all happening over years. Like, this is not like X-Men where you have Days of Future Past as a two-issue thing. Like, this is a weekly series. A lot of it is slow burn, especially when you get into the anime, which, because it was coming out at the same time as the, like, manga, there would be points where it's like, oh, no, we're about to catch up where the manga is. I guess we need to put in a filler arc. Like, there's a point where when Goku dies in the early episodes, he gets sent down to hell, and so he has to figure out how to escape hell. But in the American dub, they couldn't put hell in it, so it's so it becomes HFIL, the Home for Infinite Losers, which is very good and dumb. Bulma, who was Goku's friend from Dragon Ball, along with Gohan and Krillin, And I also believe Piccolo goes along with them. They all head to Namek to try and collect the Dragon Balls, find out what happened to Vegeta. And Goku is stuck training. He eventually gets done with the training and decides to head off. They get to Namek. There's a bunch of goings-on. Vegeta decides that he wants the Dragon Balls for himself. He steals them. And there's a bunch of fights. It ultimately ends up with Piccolo merging with another Namek who's the last of the surviving Nameks, because Frieza and her people do a bunch of other genocides, along with Vegeta, just coincidentally. So it's like down to Piccolo and Dende, who's another Namekian. And big final fight. Everybody gets knocked out over the course of it, and so it finally turns out to be Frieza and Goku. And this is where you get into the, like, they weren't able to put fillers in, so they just stretch these fights to, like, 6 episodes of Goku charging up his attacks, like the Spirit Bomb, where he gathers a bit of life force from everybody. It's like the Morrison Justice League stuff, where it's like, oh, we're going to turn everybody into superheroes, and then all that good energy will destroy you. So Goku defeats Frieza, but the planet is doomed. Luckily, Dende, the other Namekian, is like, oh, hey, well, we can still use my Dragon Balls. So they use them, wish all the Namekians to Earth, bring back, like, the people who Frieza killed so far, like Frieza and Frieza's people. And then Goku kills her. Goku kills Frieza. Frieza was one of those characters where they were alien and they had, like, a really weird shifting form. That it was kind of hard to get a pin on what their gender would be. Not that it's incredibly important, but so everybody else leaves, but Goku is missing. Then, like, 5 years in the future, a bunch of stuff has happened. Vegeta has been hooking up with Bulma, and Gohan has been training to fight, but Goku has still been missing. So Frieza returns with her father and also her brother, but a mysterious new guy named Trunks shows up. And Trunks just cuts all of them in half because he has a sword. And Goku comes back and he's like, oh, wow, if I knew that they are going to be here, I would have just teleported here because I can teleport now. And after that, it's like, oh, okay, well, we got some time to chill out here. But then it turns out that one of Goku's old enemies from the old Dragon Ball series comes back. His name is Dr. Gero, I believe, who made a bunch of androids. Some of them were good, like Goku befriended one who looked like a Frankenstein monster back in the day. But Trunks, who we find out is from the future and he is Vegeta and Bulma's kid, is like, oh yeah, I've got to stop these androids. That's really the reason why I came back here. But then he notices that a bunch of stuff isn't working out. Like, he was supposed to give Goku medicine, and the medicine doesn't seem to be working. It turns out that Goku doesn't want to take the medicine because he doesn't think that he needs to. And also another creature came back from the future named Cell. And Cell is another evolving android that was created, and its goal is to eat all of the other androids and assume a perfect form, but in the meantime it just starts scooping up people because it has a weird super phallic tail. And so Goku is like, oh well, I could stop you, but I kind of want to see where this goes. And so Cell's like, oh well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get on TV and announce that we're going to have a big martial arts tournament.
That kind of thing happens a lot, doesn't it? Like the tournament specifically.
Yeah, like it used to be every 5 years there was a martial arts tournament, and like all the years that Goku and Krillin and their teacher Master Roshi went in, they were these really big things where the scales just kept getting higher and higher, but everybody else is like, oh yeah, I can just punch real good, I'm like a punchy Greg. So the announcement of Cell and his Cell Games ends up reaching the greatest hero that the world has ever seen, Hercule, aka Mr. Satan. And everybody is expecting Mr. Satan to be able to just whip Cell, but Mr. Satan, once again, is just a normal guy. And so he gets there, and Cell just tosses him out without a problem, but he's already destroyed all the cameras, so nobody sees this. And it becomes a really big fight with Goku sacrificing himself again. This time the Dragon Balls can't bring him back. And so he teleports and tries to kill Cell by dropping him into the sun, but one cell of him remains and returns to Earth. And so Gohan is like, oh, well, I can also turn Super Saiyan. And he basically punches the androids out of Cell, if I remember correctly. And that's able to get him back to a weak enough form that he gets completely destroyed with a Kamehameha wave, which is one of the big moves in the series. So then you get another 5 years into the future with Goku staying dead. And Gohan has finally started attending school. But it turns out that the girl who he's going to school with thinks that it's awfully suspicious that he has started coming to school around the same time that the mysterious Great Saiyaman has been showing up. Because Great Saiyaman is Gohan in a very Kamen Rider-inspired disguise. So Mr. Satan's daughter Videl and Gohan end up revealing their secrets to each other. She still doesn't believe that he is, like, all super powerful or anything, because the rest of the world believes that Hercule, Mr. Satan, defeated Cell and saved the world. And so they get ready for the next fighting tournament, and there's a few mysterious people who have shown up, including a purple guy, a purple-skinned guy with a mohawk, and some fighters who are generally not supposed to be super strong, but they weirdly are. And it turns out that these people who aren't supposed to be super strong but are possessed by Satan. And the purple-skinned guy with the mohawk is essentially God, the Supreme Kai. And also, Goku gets to come back for a day because God understands that he really wants to fight. And also, Goku had another son named Goten, who is friends with Trunks, who was actually born in this period, finally. And so Trunks and Goten are best friends. And so they end up finding out that there's an evil wizard named Babidi, whose father Bibbidi created a demon genie named Boo. So Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo?
Because of course it is. That's one thing my wife and I caught trying to watch some, like, what the hell are you watching videos.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just sitting there, where's Bobbidi? I know there has to be a Bobbidi.
Mm-hmm. So it turns out that Bobbidi has enslaved Deborah, the devil, and Vegeta's still around, and so Deborah's like, oh, I can turn people's hearts evil. And it turns out that Vegeta's like, oh, yeah, no, I'm totally fine with that. I am kind of just tired of being a super domesticated dad. And so he turns evil and everybody has to fight him. Deborah goes down like a chump, but it turns out that this is all collecting energy. That way they can summon Majin Buu, who comes out as a big old pink marshmallow man who loves to transform people into things that he can eat. And so because the world is now threatened by Buu, who has eaten Babidi the wizard, I believe he also eats Goku and I think also Vegeta. Yeah, he just starts eating people by turning them into candy. The world's like, oh shit, you know what we need to do? We need to send in Mr. Satan to deal with this. And Mr. Satan understands that, oh, no, the people who actually saw the problem last time are dead and were turned into candy like chumps, so I'm kind of screwed. But instead, he ends up becoming a good father figure, and Boo ends up learning that he can use his powers to resurrect a puppy, and he becomes good friends with the puppy, but then some assassins accidentally kill the puppy, and this causes Boo to turn evil and turn into Super Boo, who decides that he is just going to eat everybody in the world and get revenge, and he is very thin and evil, and it is literally all of Boo's dark side. And so the remaining heroes have to figure out what they're going to do, which involves using the hyperbolic time chamber, which a day in there is the equivalent of a year in real time, but you can only use it for so long. So Goten and Trunks, both of whom, even though they're like 8, already can turn Super Saiyan, are like, okay, well, we're going to go and use our new super move where they merge and they turn into Gotenks. And so they try and fight. It doesn't really work. Goku and Vegeta, who are both dead, are like, oh, well, this isn't going to work. We don't have enough time to learn their dance to fuse, because they have to do a fusion dance, which is taken so many weird homages now. And yeah, I think this is the point where I just sort of forget how everything starts to go. Ultimately, they defeat Boo, though, by bringing out the good side, and the world is saved. And Akira Toriyama was like, oh yeah, I'm done. And so the anime producers were like, but this means so much to us that we can have, like, more shows and stuff. And so they ended up producing Dragon Ball GT for Grand Tour. And the GT is really divisive amongst the fans, because it's like, oh yeah, we're going to just put in some more Super Saiyan levels. That was a thing that I forgot that happened. But yeah, Akira Toriyama was like, yeah, no, I don't consider this to be like canon or anything. And then about a decade ago now, the live action Dragon Ball Z movie came out. And did you see that?
I did not, but I really want to, because I hear that it's super horrible and I really like super horrible movies.
Yeah, it was so bad that a few years later, when everybody was like, oh, Dragon Ball is almost 30 years old now, what do you think about the legacy? Akira Toriyama, from what I understand, was like, oh, yeah, no, that is not going to be my legacy. I'm going to start making some more Dragon Ball Z stories. So that's where Super starts, and I have not gone into reading any of that. But yeah, that's Dragon Ball Z.
Well, thank you, live action movie, for making that happen.
Mm-hmm. Now they're fighting a big old Sphinx cat man. Who's the devil? Or no, he's the Grim Reaper. Yeah, Dragon Ball Z is wild, and from what I've seen about this game, Ultimate Battle 22, it is not really good, because while you can go and fly and punch and everything, nobody has like special moves or anything.
Well, we're going to drop some promos for a few other shows while we try to wrap our head around all of that knowledge, because that was a lot.
Hello, I'm Anthony.
And I'm Dr. Issues.
And we're hosts of Capes on the Couch, the podcast where comics get counseling.
Superheroes don't always get to go home happy. That's where we come in.
We offer psychiatric and mental health analysis of comic book characters.
So check us out at capesonthecouch.live and across all social media platforms at Capes on the Couch.
Hi, I'm Trevor.
And I'm Kyle, and this is a plug for our podcast, Catching Up on Cinema.
Movies. Ever heard of them?
I have. And each week we take turns introducing one another to films.
Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. But at the end of the day, it's all about getting us out of our respective comfort zones.
For instance, Trevor likes movies that involve punching, and chances are, if it's obscure and from Asia, he owns it.
Meanwhile, Kyle likes sci-fi, horror, dead protagonists, and good practical effects. It needs to be said, though. Both Kyle and I are huge fans of early period Steven Seagal.
You get the idea. So if you like space, ghosts, punching,
and puppets, y'all,
tune in on Tuesday mornings and find out what cinema we've been catching up on.
Those are some great shows you should check out, but first let's finish up with this one. So Luke, this game, I mean, we're coming off such a beloved show, a show that makes a lot more sense to me now, knowing that they were kind of catching up with the source material and had to stretch things out. And then you have this game.
Yes. The game that came out in the United States about 8 years after it was developed.
Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my head around that, because that makes no sense to me at all.
It's because there was complicated rights that were involved. And so by the time that they put it out, it was sort of like, oh, we need to get a Dragon Ball Z game out there. We got this one sticking around, and we finally caught up with the show so everybody knows what it's about. It's that weird, like, the company that controls the rights to it doesn't want to get it above or get it out before translations came, and it was a different time, unlike now, where it's like, oh, yeah, you can go watch that translated episode of the anime a half hour later or whatever.
Okay, so this was kind of like making that Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie then?
It would be like if Marvel, instead of releasing the Josh Trank Fantastic Four movie, was like, oh, we're going to release this Roger Corman one officially instead.
Ugh.
Like, the game was made. The game came out in Europe in 1996 with a full English translation, which included a bunch of stuff that did not translate well in the like between the series. And yeah, it, from what I've read and seen about it, it's pretty much a generic fighting game that had no special moves for people. You could jump up in the air, but it was pretty much like fighting on land. So not great.
Yeah, it has some 3D things about it, sort of, kind of. Mm-hmm. It's more like turning a piece of paper for a minute, and then it gets to be 2D again. I mean, this game just screams super early PlayStation, maybe even Super Nintendo. But it's coming out in 2003.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 2003 would have been like early PlayStation 1, which is like what it came out for. But being released when it was at like the end of the PlayStation 1 cycle, it's like, why would you do this?
I mean, this thing had an ad for one of the Budokai games on it. That's how late it was. It's weird.
Yeah, because the Budokai stuff was, like, very fun and enjoyable. Because that was something where I'd get together with my friends, and we'd go and hook his TV up into a tent, and we'd play in that.
So this game, the Ultimate Battle 22, as far as I've been able to find, it's not based on any specific story arc in Dragon Ball Z at all.
No, there's not really a story arc to it at all. It's literally just battling. And not even battling with like a Mortal Kombat level of storyline. It's like, oh, you know these characters. They'll say a single line to each other and then the battle's done.
I'm always back and forth with fighters on whether I want there to be a story. Like, I appreciate the Justice League Task Force has an actual story that they go through that explains why heroes are fighting heroes. I give Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat a total pass because they're just saying, hey, this is a fighting tournament. We're going to fight. Of course, everybody's going to fight each other. This one, though, it's just, it's called Ultimate Battle 22 because there's 22 characters. You know, it's really imaginative there.
Yeah, I mean, it is a weird release, especially because I was looking and, yeah, it came 3 years before the first Budokai game, which, once again, was where these started to get good.
You do have some kind of ki blast attack from most people, but that's about as special as it gets.
Yeah. It's like there's a normal attack and then a like slightly larger blast and some shielding. There's none of the move diversity. There's no Destructo Disc. There's no Eye Flash thing. And even amongst the characters, it has some weird ones missing.
I mean, me looking through the roster, obviously I know who Goku and Vegeta are, because, like, everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Krillin, where my wife was saying, how often does Krillin die? Because it seemed like he was dying every 5 seconds when we were watching timeline videos.
That was definitely a Dragon Ball Z thing, because, like, in Dragon Ball, he was more of the, like, rival to Goku, who realized that he was getting surpassed again and again, so he had to work harder, and then he just sort of gave up when he met his wife, who was an android.
mind blown.
Mm-hmm.
But for somebody like me who's coming into this game not really knowing anything much that's going on with Dragon Ball and the whole Dragon Ball legacy, there's not a ton of characters that I'm going to know from anything. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much just I know Goku and Vegeta.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want to roll down the rest of that list, I can give you quick summaries of who they are.
Cool. So we have, you have Goku, which we mm-hmm. know about. Teen Gohan.
Yep, that's Gohan when he was a teen, just like Superboy. Superman when he was a boy.
Vegeta.
Who is the Prince of the Saiyans, who is sort of an asshole the entire time. Like, there's a part where it's like, only the pure of heart can wield this power, and he's like, oh, I've got a pure heart, a pure evil heart, or some edgelord bullshit like that. He's great. He's garbage, but he's great.
We have Future Trunks.
Which is Trunks from the Dark timeline when he does a John Connor.
We have Piccolo.
The Namekian who was Demon King Piccolo until he realigned with his good side, Kami.
Krillin.
Yep, Goku's best friend slash childhood rival.
Tien Shinhan.
Tien came in from Dragon Ball, I believe, in the second tournament. He was from the school that rivaled Master Roshi's, and his whole thing was he is going to be doing all the evil stuff, and he's got psychic mind powers, and he's going to do all this evil stuff. And also he had his best friend who was named Chiaotzu, who was basically a tiny mime.
Frieza.
The evil space emperor who has multiple forms, even though this one only has final form, Frieza.
Zarbon.
Okay, Zarbon was not Ginyu Force, but was sort of Frieza's right-hand man, pretty boy who turns into a giant alligator person.
Oh, that just sounds super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Raccoon.
Raccoon, that rhymes with boom, and you'll be hurting all too soon. He is a member of Ginyu Force, and Ginyu Force are very Super Sentai as well. Like, they do poses all the time, and his main thing is he's a big brick wall guy who also sort of gets taken out like a chump.
Captain Ginyu.
That is the leader of the Ginyu Force. He has a special ability that allows him to swap bodies with people, which was another way that they ended up getting some time for filler episodes, because it was like, oh, hey, you're going to get swapped into a frog. Let's just keep cutting over to that time and time again.
Cell.
The nasty android life form.
You have androids 18 and 16.
Yeah, 18 is the female android who Krillin ends up marrying. Android 16 is another big bulky boy who had a secret heart of gold.
We know exactly what question everybody is asking about 18, and we're just not going to answer that.
No, Krillin literally wishes that he can have kids with her. He uses the power of God, who is a giant dragon. In balls.
Well, doesn't that just make everything all fine and dandy?
It does.
Great Saiyaman!
That is Gohan's secret identity, which he is very bad at keeping, and he is also a huge dinkus in it.
Goten.
That is Goku's second son, and best friends with past Trunks.
Who is also in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Gotenks.
That is when Trunks and Goten merge together. And they have a move where they just shoot ghosts out of their body and the ghosts can explode.
You know when the puppy gets the full head tilt because you're doing something weird?
Uh-huh.
That's the look that I'm giving that.
Yeah, it's a kamikaze ghost attack.
That just sounds so cool and weird.
It is. Like, there's a point where, after the Cell Saga, the Majin Buu stuff just gets super wild and weird. Because, like, the whole Frieza and Namek arc was, oh yes, we're going to destroy the entire planet. We're going to do genocide. And we're specifically going to destroy this planet. And you're going to see the entire planet blowing up. And Cell Saga's, yes, I've eaten the majority of the world. And I've absorbed people in my weirdly phallic tail. And also, I am going to kill everybody. And then Buu Saga is, oh no, he's just a weird wild guy who's going to turn people into candy and eat them. And he had a puppy, and his puppy got killed, and he tried to bring the puppy back, and he could only do it so many times. And also, here's a teen, who's actually two teens combined, who can shoot ghosts because they think it would be awesome. And they secretly achieved Super Saiyan without their dads knowing it.
I'm going to assume they didn't do it standing on each other's shoulders in a trench coat.
Actually, that is how they entered into the fighting tournament.
I think another version of me might have written this series.
Oh, yeah. No, there's so much very good dumb stuff in it.
You have Supreme Kai.
Mm-hmm. That is the Supreme, essentially, God, but he's not the first God, because the first God retired, and then he was a pervert inside of a sword. Also, he got stuck merged together because he swapped earrings with his bodyguard, because God has a bodyguard.
Well, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask if he was just chilling out in Tahiti, but, you know, with how crazy everything else has been, I was scared I was going to be right.
It's weird when Earth is our Earth and when it's not. Because, like, Dragon Ball was very much, oh, no, this is a fantasy world. Here's a mummy. Here's a Dracula. Here's an invisible man who's going to get a bunch of tomato soup spit on him when a teenager flashes another teenager's breasts.
I'm going to assume that was cut out of the American anime.
They did some quick cutting around it. Because that was how they defeated the invisible man in a fighting tournament. To allow Goku and the rest of the team to find out where a Dragon Ball was.
You have Deborah.
Yeah, that's Satan, pretty much.
Majin Buu.
Which is the big, happy, fat Buu.
And Super Buu.
Who is the evil, thin Buu, who's a nasty boy.
So here's possibly my favorite part of the game. In fighting games, a lot of times you have secret characters. You spend forever trying to convince your friends that the secret characters exist. And then forever trying to figure out how to get the secret characters actually usable. And they go and tell you the cheat codes to unlock them right there in the manual.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's, you want to be able to do it.
I mean, I'm glad they let you have one easy thing, because having all the cool moves obviously wasn't going to be it.
No, unfortunately not.
And the secret characters, except for Master Roshi, are all people we've talked about a lot throughout the episode.
Mm-hmm. You get Goku when he was a boy. Mr. Satan, who, God bless you, Mr. Satan. Super Saiyan 3 Goku. Super Saiyan 3 was sort of just like, oh, we're going to make their hair even longer and make them look a bit angrier. You also get Gogeta, which is when Goku and Vegeta merge correctly. Because they failed doing the dance a few times. And then Master Roshi, who was the teacher for Goku and Krillin early on, and who was also a weird pervert who lived on an island with a woman who, whenever she would sneeze, would switch between a happy-go-lucky personality and a murderous personality. And also he lived on that island with a turtle who scolded him for being hoarding all the time.
I like the turtle part. That sounds really cool. Living with somebody who changes personalities like that just sounds scary.
Oh, yeah. No, she would also randomly pull out machine guns from nowhere.
I want to say you're making this up, but with everything else, there's just no way.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I mean, the game doesn't even bring up Oolong, who was a pig man who could transform into different shapes, or Yamcha, who started off as a desert thief, and then he decided to also train with Master Roshi. But then he realized that there was a point where he just couldn't keep up anymore, and so he became a baseball player. And his best friend was a flying cat who could also transform better than Oolong the pig, And that flying cat's name was Puar.
Technically, you have different stages, but they all suck.
Yeah, I mean, you get Plain, Namek, Ruined City, Coast, Desert, Cell Games Arena, Kami's Lookout, Hyperbolic Time Chamber, World Martial Arts Tournament, Barren Planet, and Crystal Room.
They're all pretty much combinations of vague ground, vague sky color, maybe vague building in the background.
Well, I mean, what more do you need?
I don't know, something somewhat connected to Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah. But also, there is a point where just because of the amount of damage that they'd be doing, it's like, hey, we should probably move away from this populated area. Or they just start fighting the areas when Cell already ate all the people there.
Okay, I'll give you that.
And the Hyperbolic Time Chamber is literally an infinite void that has an entrance slash exit to it. And if you stay in there for too long, you go insane.
And you have to remember, too, that this was kind of the first game made that actually came out in the U.S., although not the first one that did actually come out. And then there was also that weird Dragon Power game, which was a Dragon Ball Z game in Japan, but not over here on the regular Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just the American history of having Dragon Ball games is already crazy just from that.
Well, and even the base idea of, like, how things were getting released, because for me, growing up and watching Dragon Ball Z, it was a point where the Japanese network channel was already, like, showing episodes that had been in syndication in Japan for years before the American screenings of the Funimation dub had gotten that far. So it was like, oh, I don't know why Vegeta is wearing a pink dress shirt that says Bad Man on the back, but I'm fascinated by how we're going to get to this point. And then I told my brother, and he did not believe me.
Wait, so were you watching the Japanese network stuff?
When I would go to my aunt's house up in Michigan, she got the network, and so sometimes I'd just turn on the TV, and it would be like, oh, hey, here's Dragon Ball Z randomly. Or one time it was Dragon Ball GT, which was very weird and confusing.
So how did that happen?
That the Japanese non-dubbed version was showing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, more specifically, why did your aunt have that channel?
Like, that part of Michigan has a pretty big ethnic population, for lack of a better term, because that's like around the University of Michigan.
Okay, that's cool.
I got nothing beyond that.
I mean, it seems to fit in with the theme of the series so far, though. It's like cool stuff just kind of happens. Roll with it.
Mm-hmm. But like, it was also one of those things where I'd watch it, but there was like all sorts of weird Dragon Ball Z fan sites that'd be like talking about speculation. Then you'd have the people who was like, oh yeah, I watched the uncut episode. I paid like $40 for a VHS with 3 episodes on it, and I know what happens. And just this weird divide of ability to know what is going on.
See, that's kind of cool to me too. Mm-hmm. We might need to try to make a bonus episode out of that.
I also had, like, a Gotenks and his Ghost Spirit Pop card years before that happened, and it was just like, oh, I don't know what this is at all. But I just kept looking forward to when I'd finally see that on the TV, and then it came, and I'd already lost the card by that point.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It was shiny foil.
That's almost as sad as losing your puppy again and again and again.
Mm-hmm. Except I did not turn evil and use my power to turn everybody into candy.
Well, I mean, all the videos I watched kind of skipped over the part where the puppy kept dying, so I'm totally understanding why he turned evil now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, he is literally a demon made to possess evil.
I mean, anybody would be an evil acting demon if their puppy kept dying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, what else do you need to know about the Dragon Ball Z?
Really? I mean, the main reason we spent so long talking about the series and not the game is that the game sucks.
Oh yeah, there's absolutely nothing of interest to the game. What I'd kind of love to see is if they were to do, like, have you played a lot of the Lego games?
Not recently, but enough to be pretty familiar with them.
So I would love to see them do, like, a Lego Dragon Ball Z adventure, because I think you could do a lot of fun stuff with that, especially with the early on Dragon Ball stuff where Goku's going around fighting the Red Ribbon Army, who's essentially Nazis.
Was that edited for over here, or was it Red Ribbon all the time?
No, it was Red Ribbon over there as well. I mean, there is a part where Hitler does come back and Goku fights Hitler.
Oh, because of course there is, right?
Yeah, which raises questions about how Hitler... Okay, he was just called the dictator, but yeah.
I think we're just going to leave that one there.
Yeah, yep. Apparently he gets killed just like the Nazis do in Raiders of the Lost Ark with the Super Ghost Kamikaze attack.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as this game being true to the source material, whether you want to consider that to be the manga or the anime or both, since they were kind of going in conjunction with each other, what do you think this game really gets right?
It has a lot of characters.
I was really wondering what exact words you would use to say that, because I can't think of anything else.
I mean, the art style, while it's not great, everybody is recognizable and it is drawn pretty much to model.
Yeah, they went and pulled cells from the animation, and it's really hard to screw up when you do that.
Yes.
So the super short version, what do you think this game gets wrong?
Being a game.
You get 30,000 gold stars.
Can I exchange them for anything?
12 wishes.
I will hold on to those for after the show.
Sounds good. And I probably don't have to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
But ignoring any other Dragon Ball Z, anything games that exist, just this one in a vacuum. Would you hand somebody this game as a primer course for Dragon Ball Z?
No.
I mean, I'm with you. This doesn't even attempt to tell a story at all. It's just, here's characters, go punch each other.
Pretty much. And not even a, this is who these characters are.
Yeah, like they've got some opening things that were cut for the US release. Even if you had had those in with the game as it is, it would have been so much better. You could have at least said, hey, grab the game and go look at the characters' opening scenes. But that's not even here for us on this side of the ocean.
Yeah. And there's just a whole bunch of weird things that could have been done infinitely better.
Like everything.
Yeah, yeah, everything.
Luke, it's been great having you on. If people want to hear more from you, where else can they find you around the internet?
So I am available on Twitter at Coltreg. That's K-O-L-T-R-E-G. I am also the main host of Multiverso Q, which is currently Ultiverso Q, your guide to the Ultimate Universe, now in podcast form, where every other week we are going over stories in the Ultimate Universe. We are currently at the Ultimates 2 era. So I think next year, early on, we're going to be hitting Ultimatum, which is going to be a thing. I am also the game master and producer for the Exiled podcast, which is a currently weekly actual play role-playing game podcast using a mix of superhero systems. And we are wrapping up weekly episodes in November of this year, 2019. Which means if you want to get onto a show and not have to worry about a quickly expanding buffer, you are going to be in luck. And then I am also the game master of the other actual play podcast, RPG Pals Club, which is set in the Waterdeep setting, which is pretty much big fantasy city, and it is a group of five wildly different people trying to open up a dog cafe. So that is where you can find me, and where can you be found, Chris?
Well, if you want to hear more from me, you can head on over to Twitter at PlayComicsCast. You can find us in our Facebook group, playcomics.com/Facebook group, because I like setting up redirections. It's fun. If you want to help support the show, we have a merch store that I have set up over on Play Comics, where you can find a coupon code down in the show notes to get some percent off that I haven't decided what it is yet. But I'm also not going to tell you the code because I want to be mean and force you to read the show notes. You can also head on over to the newly revamped Patreon with lots of cool rewards. And if we can get up to $25 a month of support, then you can see me stumble my way through playing a game, or not, depending on which one people vote on wanting to see me live cast. Also, don't forget that Play Comics is part of the Gunna Geek Network, home to such wonderful shows as, you ready? The official Gunna Geek Show, where each week hosts Steven, Chris, and Stargate Pioneer, also that Chris is not me, get together and discuss the latest happenings in the world of geek, from space to sci-fi to comics to tech to gaming and more. There's tons of geeky talk in the podcast, and if you really want to, you can watch them stream it live and see all their wonderful faces. If you like the music that we're rudely talking on top of right now, head on over to soundcloud.com/best-day to check out Best Day's music. But most of all, just grab a game that's hopefully not this one. Grab a comic or a manga and just find yourself a new favorite character. Boing.
Bow, 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 now. Bow, 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 bow. Bow, 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 bow. Dragon Ball Z.
I'm so glad I didn't stop recording on the local one for that.
You're welcome.
You're the best.
Thank you.